the motet O Domine Jesu Christe by Tomas Louis de Victoria. I am very pleased to welcome three members of Stile Antico here to WCVE today as they are in Richmond to perform tonight at the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart. The concert begins at 7:30, and I should say tickets are available at the door. So if you don't have tickets yet and you're interested, you can go right on down there tonight. Katie Schofield, Becky Hickey, and Tom Kelly are joining me today. Thank you all so much for coming by the studios.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, you're welcome.
Stile Antico means old style. So can you tell me a little bit more about how the name came about for this ensemble?
Yes. When the group first started some 12 years ago or so, and they got together with the express desire to sing music from the Renaissance period, as this is something they particularly loved. And the term Stile Antico was used by Monteverdi about the older style of music that Palestrina and others in Italy were composing, which is a cappella and in a sort of old world style, I suppose you might say, in the church. So that's why they decided on the term Stile Antico.
And the big thing for you this year was performing at the Grammys. You were nominated for Best Small Ensemble Performance, and you've had several Grammy nominations. What was that like to be at the Grammys?
It was not something like anything we've ever done before. It was quite a different experience from our usual sort of concert venues and our usual kind of experiences on tour. So it was kind of incredible. It felt a bit like being pop stars, which was kind of, quite a change from singing in cold churches, which is more normally our...
Yeah, and it was great to sing to a big audience as well, and quite a different audience from the audience we usually sing to. And we had lots of fun in other ways as well at receptions and parties.
Yeah, there was a crazy reception.
And we were the only classical act who performed in the ceremony that we were part of. So it was really nice to kind of reach a different audience and to kind of be a part of something that was so different from our normal concert experiences.
Well, the group is sort of groundbreaking because you have no conductor. There are just 12 singers out there working together as chamber musicians. So can you tell me a little bit about how this affects your rehearsals and how you go about forming your musical interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, we rehearse more than a group that has a conductor does, because we all bring that level of learning and shared sort of getting into the music. It does take a bit longer.
It's a slower process than the way that lots of other ensembles would work. Because as Tom says, everybody kind of has to bring their own ideas to the table, and there's often quite a lot of lively and occasionally heated discussion about how we should interpret some of the pieces or parts of some of the pieces that we're rehearsing. But it's also such a satisfying way of working, because it means that the product that we create is something that we've all had an equal part in, and it's something that we've really made together. So it's something that's really different, I think, from the way that we work in lots of the rest of our musical lives. It's a kind of special, it's a unique thing, really.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a chance to experiment with the music and not just do it one way and say that's the way we're doing it. But sometimes we try two or three different dynamics in a certain place, or different speeds, or we just try doing different things with it and see what we like.
It's got to be different from the audience standpoint, too, because you're used to an ensemble coming out and the conductor is sort of the star, even though the performers are really what's making the music happen. Here, you're all on an equal platform.
Yes, we stand in a semicircle, and instead of looking at a conductor out in the middle, we either look at each other, which sort of gives the audience an insight into who's singing the same part as each other or needs to communicate with somebody else at a specific time. But we can also look directly at the audience. So we like to think that that gives a more engaging performance than if we have to look at a conductor.
It's much more immediate, isn't it, I think, for the audience. So should people want to come down and see this evening, they can do. See it in action. But we get that a lot from audience after concerts, that they really enjoy seeing the group interact with each other on stage, because that's something that you don't really get when there's a conductor in the front kind of leading everything. You see, and hopefully they see how much fun we're having while we're on stage as well.
A lot of audiences do say how they love seeing
like
we're enjoying ourselves, and they also like to see, I think they feel they can see individual personalities in the group more when there's not a conductor in front of them, and everybody is giving their own part of themselves when they're performing.
Now, you go back a long ways in time in terms of the music that you're performing. It's very different than what folks are listening to at different concerts today. How do you go about the programming? How do you put together these compelling programs that highlight the Renaissance music?
I believe there's a subcommittee. we like committees.
So there are a few people in the group whose job it is to kind of take ideas that we've all suggested and kind of work them into things that might be kind of sensible and interesting programs. But quite often, I think there are. I think our most successful programs are ones that kind of still have something that people can relate to today. So, yeah. For example, the CD that we, our latest recording that we have made, it hasn't been released yet, but the latest disc that we recorded is kind of on the theme of exile and migration. So those are obviously things that were very relevant to the Catholics in Protestant England, but also things that are obviously really live concerns today as well. So I often think that those programmes kind of appeal to something in people today, even though we're dealing with music that had come from kind of concerns of like that were around a long time ago.
Yeah, for example, the programme we're singing this evening in the cathedral is based around the idea of Elizabeth I being a muse for composers and also being a musician herself and inspiring all sorts of works of music to be written. So I think, you know, it's nice to have a theme, and a lot of people respond to there being a particular theme and it being built around that.
It's nice to do it by committee. As well.
Yeah. Well, like everything else in the group, it's kind of done democratically. So.
And you've done a lot of recordings. You've had several Grammy nominations. Tell us a little bit about some of these best-selling recordings. If folks are being introduced to you for the first time today, what would you suggest they go out and purchase to listen to Stile Antico?
Well, a lot of people actually do start with our first disc ever to be released, which is Music for Compline, which is, you know, a lot of people like, you know, just to listen to something that's very relaxing. But it's also, it's quite a mix. There's some plain chant on there. A lot of people like to listen to chant, but also a big motet on it as well, and works lots of, it's all English Tudor composers, which is really what we specialise in.
Yeah,
although we love other music too, but
it's kind of close to our very favourite repertoire, I think. Yeah. So it's a good, introduction to something. Sort
of other really popular disc has been Song of Songs, which is all settings of the words from the Bible, from the Song of Songs, and mostly continental composers, so that's very different from the Tudor music, but that's been very popular as well. So I'd recommend buying that one too.
So all of these performances are very popular, but one other thing that you do is you do these master classes and workshops. Tell me a little bit about your passion, the group's passion for music education.
Well, you do have the right person here, because actually that's one of my responsibilities.
This is Katie, by the way.
Yeah, so this is my kind of main responsibility in the group outside, obviously, the singing of the concerts. So we have been expanding our educational work in the last couple of years. So we've worked quite a lot in schools in the UK, and we also help teaching courses at places like the Dartington International Festival. So they have a summer school which is down in the southwest of England, and we've worked there recently too. We've done that for a few years. And last summer we ran a week's worth of workshops in Spain, which is the first time that we've done something like that kind of out of the UK, which was a really big departure for us, and also a bit of a test of our linguistic skills. And we're also looking into kind of broadening our reach to maybe a plan that's in the pipeline is to work a little more with the idea of, off the back of the disc that we've recorded, theme of kind of migration, looking at working with different communities in the UK and maybe creating a work, a new piece of music with a new text. So kind of really reaching a different audience and kind of breaking into new territory there. So we've got, lots of interesting things on the horizon as well.
The type of music, of course, is not something you would see youth going for necessarily. So how do you reach out to them and pull them in?
Well, I think that the workshops are really powerful in that capacity, because you let them sing the music. So and in singing it, you learn to go through the same hurdles that we do every day when we're rehearsing and performing. So I think by singing it, they learn so much about the music that it's that level of appreciation for you know, what you have to put into singing it that means that you can then sit and listen and enjoy it.
Yeah, they learn it's not just dead music, but you can bring it alive by putting emotion into it.
It's all music that's been written by people who have their hearts on their sleeves, and they firmly believe in the texts that they're setting to music. So it's really powerful.
Well, the group is based in London. It's such a pleasure to have you here in the U.S., and I know you do a lot of U.S. tours, so I hope you'll come back to Richmond again sometime soon.
Yeah, we hope so, too.
Stile Antico, that was Katie Schofield, Becky Hickey, and Tom Kelly joining us. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.